everybody. I want to welcome you all to the Raw Spiel, where we keep it real with the hard truth. I'm glad to have, we have a special guest with me today. He's Pastor Bill Jenkins. He's a pastor of Destinyland Christian Center. He's an author, radio host, a husband, a father of three sons. How you doing today, Pastor?
I'm doing great, man. Great to be with you today.
Yes, sir. I'm glad you're able to come on here. You know, just tell you a little bit about the broadcast, the Raw Spiel. You know, basically, we talk about, you know, things that goes on in the world today, and give a, you know, biblical perspective. You know what? You know, we talk about things for like marriage, abortion, oh, just a wide variety of things. Hell, or just and you know, just. And you know, just get some solid truth about, you know, what we're facing on each day. And I don't know if you, a big story going on with the Brittany Griner lady that was detained in Russia for about 10 months, and she was, you know, set free. And I want to play a audio clip from by Judge Joe Brown. He was speaking on this matter, and I'm gonna play this clip. And I, after we finish listening to it, I wanna no get your point of view of this whole situation. How this looks on America as a whole. Me personally, I think I don't think you get the same treatment if you're a non-athlete, a non-politician, or non-celebrity. As y'all know, she was free with a swap. You know, they traded one prisoner in the U.S. for her. So it's, I tell you, a lot of controversy behind that. But we want to play this clip from Judge Joe Brown. And this was before she got free. And spare me, give me 1 second, I can pull this up and we'll take a listen and see. Here we go.
The Biden administration supposed to be making a swamp deal. What happened with that? They don't even talk about Brittany Griner no more.
Let me say something about this whole case that offends me and the American approach to it. This woman is in another country. She should have respected their laws. You don't bring cannabis oil through checkpoints at somebody else's airport, not as they tried to put it out initially, as one e-cigarette worth, but several canisters. That's a no-no. Next thing is, as a former criminal court judge, a retired judge, this bothers me that there is a presumption that somebody can fix a case for you so you do not get treated like everybody else. I find that offensive, and I see too much of it on the local, state, and national level these days. There is an inherent presumption that somehow somebody from the United States should intervene and fix this case for her so she does not get treated like everybody else in Russia does when they get a case because she's somehow special.
Right. Yeah. And where is the LGBT?
So, Pastor, what is your perspective on this whole case with the Miss Brittany Griner doing a prison swap for her freedom? What's your take on all this?
Well, listen, you know, we have to be thankful when anybody is released, but making the deals, making the trades, that's the thing I think that bothers a lot of people. We still have people that have been over there for a longer period of time. And so, you know, it's kind of one of those things. It's just hard for people to sort of reconcile that, you know, she really did commit a crime. There's other people who were accused of crimes who, you know, who don't even have trials yet, let alone be found guilty. And yet they're still there. There's 60 Americans around the world that are being held hostage. And if we start making deals with every single country to get our Americans back, which we which we want them back, then what's going to happen is when I go on vacation or you go on vacation somewhere, what's going to happen is we put ourselves in great risk to be arrested for some things, whether they're legitimate or illegitimate, in order to make some, you know, match or switch or swap so that, you know, everybody can be happy. So I think, you know, we're all glad that she's home. Any prisoner that's been in some foreign country, we have to say that we're thankful that they're back. But, you know, to make deals for somebody who was dealing, you know, with cannabis and somebody who's out there dealing with, you know, nuclear weapons and bombs looking to destroy our people, that's a whole nother story. And so I think we have to be careful as Americans to, you know, accept this. Yes, we're glad they're home. We want all 60 of those Americans that are being held hostage somewhere to be, you know, released and to come home. But I think we have to be careful because it sets a precedent for the future as to, you know, how countries can manipulate us to get things from us, to lower our standard and compromise in such a way that can be detrimental to our country as a whole.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that. That's another part I want you to speak on too. How does that make other countries look at us? You know, just it seems like we're very quick to, you know, bow down to other countries. But what this man, he was like an arms dealer. And
arms dealer, yes.
Yeah, you know, so how would that make
America, where they would look at America as a weak country. We're not standing up. We're not, you know, using and flexing the muscle that we have as a superpower. And I think whenever we appear weak, we become more and more defenseless. And so it's not just Russia, but what about North Korea? What about Iran? All of these countries, you know, they see what's happening. They watch what's happening. If it worked for Russia, why wouldn't it work for them? So I think that's the greatest concern that I and many other people that I know have, is that, you know, we're setting a precedent for the future where, yeah, it's great to have them home, but at what price? What price are we having to pay futuristic when the average American goes somewhere and they end up, you know, being arrested, accused, and, you know, even convicted of a crime? And then we have to make these deals. They're getting back somebody who, you know, committed some crimes, still had more, a little bit less than half of his, you know, sentence to fulfill. And yet, you know, we're making a deal for somebody who is popular in our culture, somebody who's an NBA basketball. What about the no names? What about the people you never heard of? What about the ones that we know nothing about? Many people don't know the names of the 60 people who are held, you know, in prisons around the world that are Americans who, you know, we want them back too. We want everybody back. And so I think it just sets a precedent for other countries to look at us as America's weak, and we ought to be the strongest superpower on the face of the earth and never come across as weak.
Yes, sir. We're talking to Pastor Bill Jenkins. And I tell you, I was looking at some prisoners that's over there. Like there's one guy, I think his name was named Fogel. He's a history teacher. Now he's serving a 14-year sentence over there in Russia for having marijuana, but like it's for medical reasons. But again, like you said, nobody really knows him. He's just no regular teacher. I said maybe if he was a star athlete or something, or actor, he'd get some attention. But from what I've read, I don't think there's any kind of attempt to even bring him over. And do you think because of Miss Griner's, you know, sexual orientation too, you think that may have a part of why they push so hard to bring her over, to free her?
You know, in Russia, it's against the law. So, you know, she committed in their territory. You know, she did some things she shouldn't have done against their laws that are there. And so, you know, when you're even Paul said in the Bible, you know, when you're in certain situations, you got to respect their laws. You know, we would expect people to respect our laws in America if you're coming from other countries. And, you know, we should expect the same from them. And so I think we have to respect the laws regardless of what it is. You know, I think sometimes, you know, it's the squeaky wheel that gets the oil, you know, I mean, and so whether it's family members or friends or celebrity or fame that's causing this stuff to be in the news, many of these people that we don't even know the names who are over in these foreign countries who, you know, are locked up, they don't even have families over here. And if they do, they're not getting the media attention. And so I just, you know, we have to be, you know, careful. You know, again, we are happy that any prisoner, including Brittany Griner, is back, but we don't want to set that precedent, make us look weak in the eyes of other people, because it won't stop. Here's the thing. It's not going to stop things, you know, and slow things down. It's going to increase it. You're going to see more than 60 people that are going to get arrested and they're going to be held. And then what? Then what are we going to do? And so I think we got to be very careful on how we handle things. We certainly should be diplomatic, but we also have to be very careful not to, you know, sort of do things to just garner attention and think that that's going to be something that, you know, we're going to look at. Others are going to look at us as we're walking in strength, because it's not. Everybody sees this. I don't care what side of the aisle you're on. Everybody sees the sign of weakness. If Americans see this as weakness, what do you think the Russians and the Iraqis and, you know, the North Koreans, what do you think they're thinking? They're thinking, hey, if there's a chance to take somebody into custody and they can get somebody that they want released and get back to their place, they're willing to do it. And so I think we just, you know, we're setting precedents that are going to be hard to reverse. And I think that's the main thing that I'm concerned about.
Gotcha. Now, yeah, that do seem like a sign of weakness. We, like you said, we got a lot of enemies out there, like the Iranians, North Korea. I'm not trying to be a prophet of doom or nothing like that, but those countries are salivating to hit us.
Absolutely.
They want to come over here and they see stuff like this. I'm just put it like this. Now, I hope the FBI don't kick down my door when I say this, but I'm not war hungry. I don't want this country to get a hit at all. I'm not saying that, but the leadership in this country, man, this might be a good time. And no, nobody's showing no backbone. I mean, if I Russia or somebody, I might come near the coastal waters and shoot a warning shot or something. That's the impression of this leadership. It all depends on what administration is in the White House.
Right.
And you're showing sign of weakness. Man, you just embolden China. You embolden Russia.
Yes.
You embolden North Korea. And they are salivating. Paul is ready to attack. And I'll tell you, when I was growing up, I really thought America, you know, nobody dared to come over here and start no war. But, man, they don't fear America no more.
No.
No, these countries do not fear America.
No, it's like the Bible says, like, you know, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. So if we let a little evil in, evil isn't going to stop in a little place. It's going to expand. It's going to grow. It's going to get bigger. And so I think that's where, you know, many people, you know, are really expressing their concern, is because we're coming across very weak, and we have to be strong in our weakest moments, and we have to be and we're only as strong as our weakest link. And so if we have, you know, people in leadership who are showing this kind of weakness, then it's going to spread that sort of reputation that everybody in America is weak. And we're not, but because we do certain things, we sort of get that reputation. And like you said, when I was in school, I remember I was in eighth grade and Ronald Reagan was running for president. And I remember the day that he got into office, you know, you had 43 different Americans released from, you know, what was it, Iran or Iran's custody, because they knew that, you know, the leadership was not going to allow and tolerate certain things to happen. And so if they feel like certain things are going to happen, they're going to do certain things because it's the right thing to do, not because there's some what they would consider even trade.
Yes, indeed. And anybody that's listening to this, no, I'm not anti-American, anything like that. Just keeping it real. It just showing sign of weakness to our enemies. Yes. And one more thing about this situation. Do you think her, her having being a part of the LGBTQ community, you think that may have had something to do with how hard the administration was to push the FREA, as opposed to, like I said, there is a teacher over there. I'm sure it's a straight male or whatever, but you think that because she's a part of that community that might have been, more incentive to FREA as opposed to, just your average Joe?
Well, I think the current administration wants, the minorities, they want the LGBT community, they want everybody, they want them to feel like they're behind them. And right. So, that's, part of it is to where, they want to garner the support. You wonder how political this is. Are you just trying to get some votes? Are you just trying to, engage with certain communities, but not all communities? I believe God loves us all, red, yellow, black, and white. God doesn't play favorites. So I'm no better than you. You're no better than me. We may be better off than some people, but we're no better than anybody. And so, we see this constantly in the administration where there is sympathy being bestowed upon certain people or certain groups of people in order to, garner their support in the future. But, everyone needs to be treated the same. I don't care who they are. We got military people who are still being held in Russia. We got, people, teachers. We have common folks who went on vacation who ended up in jail for, stuff that can't even be proven. And so we're setting the table not only to show the weakness, but, we're also saying, that this group, we want the support from this group. So we're willing to do maybe a little bit more in order to, get some of these folks back than we are for other people, because those people are going to vote for a certain group of people or a certain party of people. And so it's tough to say, it's hard to come out, it's hard to hear sometimes, but I think that, whenever you begin to show that kind of favoritism, again, you set that precedent. It's hard to turn around. It's hard to make a U-turn when you make certain decisions and you set certain precedents.
Yes, we are speaking with Mr. Pastor Bill Jenkins. Speaking of marijuana, I don't know if you heard, as a pastor over in Atlanta, What's suggested, to draw people in, to teach men to farm on the church property to grow cannabis. If you bear with me for a minute, I'm going to see if I can pull up the audio, pull up the video, and let you hear it for yourself. It's just a few seconds, maybe 40 seconds or so. Let me see if I can pull it up and let you, let's see. Well, here we go.
I'm looking for people that smell like weed. Is why aren't we not raising cannabis? Bring in black males. They're able to do it legally. Mm. I'm teaching them farming.
Oh my God.
I'm helping them to enhance the ecosystem. Black boy in Bankhead said, they growing weed at the church? Where do I join?
Yes.
I don't need no pamphlet for him.
And there you have it.
Yeah, so you have been caused a little controversy with that. It sounds like he's serious, but I know you're supposed to be a fisherman of men. Don't draw men to the Lord. I just feel, just the word of God by itself. Don't sure should be so sure should be enough, but what is your man, this is a whole lot going on. What is your take on, you know, someone wanting to draw men in, to draw people to the church by those means with you know, cannabis?
Well, if we start having, you know, Christian marijuana, then why don't we have Christian prostitutes?
Right.
You know, Christian drug dealers, you know, Christian terrorists. Where does it end? Where does it stop? So to me, we never lower the standard in order to try to get people in. Sooner or later, if we're doing the right thing and, you know, we're having an impact upon the community the right way, those people who are involved in things that they shouldn't be are going to be looking for someone to go to that has stood strong in the midst of, you know, all the evil that has gone on. Think about Sodom and Gomorrah. Sodom and Gomorrah was the most evil place, but there was only 10,000 people. Sodom and Gomorrah was like two cities, 10,000 people. Look at America. We're way more than 10,000 people. And oh, yeah. So, and the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah, it really pales in comparison to the sin that is a part of the world and now creeping into the church. And so I believe you compromise the key, you're going to eventually lose. We don't try to get people in through evil means. That's just ridiculous. You don't know this, but that's a crazy question you ask, because when I pastored in Indianapolis, there was actually a church within a stone's throw of my church. We had 33 acres, and there was a church within a stone's throw that was called the First Church of Cannabis. And so they grew the cannabis. They grew the marijuana on the property. And as part of their church service, they would smoke the marijuana. Wow. Nothing about God's word was being taught. We sort of had a debate on local live TV, me and their so-called pastor. People call me Pastor Bill. The crazy thing is that dude's name was Pastor Bill. And so, you know, we actually had a debate going on that the media in Indianapolis just covered like crazy. And I was telling people, listen, you know, the Bible says be hot or be cold. But when you're lukewarm, God's going to spew you out of his mouth. And so there's no such thing as a Christian thief. There's no such thing as Christian marijuana. And so we got to keep these things separate. And God is looking for the true church to really stand up and, you know, really make that kind of declaration that, you know, sin is sin, right is right, wrong is wrong, and make those two things clear. There has to be a separation between the saints and the ain'ts. And when we tolerate, when we allow, when we accept, when we lower the standard in order to so-called make a difference in other people's lives and get them in the church, that's not what God wants us to do, because we're bringing a bad mark on Christ and we're bringing a bad mark upon the church. And ultimately, we're going to bring a bad mark upon ourselves.
Yeah, that was a very good point. You think I, when I was thinking about that today, and where does it end? Where's the line? You know, but with the marijuana, you know, you pretty much you're drawing people in supposedly to the very thing that's their stronghold.
Yeah.
That's holding them down. So so what is the point? Just like you said, what's next?
If we're gonna allow marijuana today, then pole dancing. Prostitution, there's nothing that's not going to be acceptable, because there won't be any boundaries. There won't be any lines that are drawn. So, you know, we're going to advertise the revival of pole dancing in our church, you know, Friday through Sunday, just like we're going to advertise the next weekend a revival of marijuana, a revival of, you know, sexual immorality, whatever it is. And that may seem a little strange to people, but the bottom line is that's what is true. When we lower the standard, there's no place to stop. There's no boundaries. There are no fences. Why do you put up a fence at your house? You know, why is there borders in America? Well, it's because we want to keep certain things out and keep certain things in. You just don't let anybody come into your house. I don't leave my doors unlocked every night. I got a security system. You know, I got a dog. I got a security system, and I lock my doors. So, you know, you can't be presumptuous or foolish and think that God's going to honor that. And so these are false prophets. And the Bible says that in the last days, what's going to happen is, you know, you notice that person who asked the question there. She was sort of getting into it and looking impressed. I mean, come on. I mean, that's a little ridiculous. You know, we can't, you know, have, you know, our grounds full of weed, because what happens if, you know, our children get into it? And then we're creating another generation of addiction in our society, in our country. And we can't blame the devil for that. We have to blame ourselves for that. It's not the devil's fault. It's our fault. We're letting it in. And so, you know, that's, to me, false prophets. That's false prophecy. It goes against the word. There's nowhere in the scripture that tells you, you know, that we ought to take, you know, hallucinants and drugs in order to, you know, gain some, you know, level of, you know, high in our lives. The Bible tells us that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and not to put things in our body that's going to harm us and hurt us. And so I think we, again, we have to be very careful, because we see our society getting to the point that's even worse than Sodom and Gomorrah. And if God doesn't judge America, he will have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah, because Sodom and Gomorrah didn't get away with it, and neither will America. And if the church is leading the way on some of these things, God help the church. The Bible says that judgment begins at the house of God. So before God judges the world, he's going to deal with the church. And the people on the front of that list are going to be the pastors who are leading the people astray.
That's well said. It's funny you said something about pole dancers, because I know I come across, it was several years ago, I think the YouTube channel said, I think it was said, strippers for Jesus. And this was a lady, you know, a teacher from the Bible. She had her chest out. I think she might have had, you know, something covering her, you know, whatever, yeah. But she had a full chest out, preaching from the word. I said, man, this can't be serious. But she was dead serious. I'm like, my. Yeah, so they got to be a line somewhere, but that like I said, that's kind of extreme. I know people might say, "Oh, well, you're winning people over." Even with music, sometimes they have Christian rock or whatever. But I don't know. It seems like there ought to be some kind of a separation. You ought to be able to tell, okay, this is for the Lord. Right. This is for the world. This nowadays it's kind of hard to tell.
It's too mixed.
Which is which.
There's no line. There's no boundary. And the Bible said we're in the world, but we're not of the world. And so I live in a world that is full of sin. You can go find that. You can go find marijuana or, you know, strip clubs just about in any city, right? You can go anywhere and find that stuff. But where can you find the power of God? Where can you find the moving of the Holy Spirit in such a way that can change your life? If we're going to get high, let's get high on the Most High. Let's not try to find other means to supplement what we cannot get on our own by connecting with the Lord. And so I think it's very important that we make sure that we separate those lines. We're in the world. I can't do nothing about the crazy world. I live in California. I live in a crazy place where everything is accepted. Everything is tolerated. Everything is okay. Right before I started this interview with you, I heard about a pastor. This is a woman pastor who stepped down from the pulpit in order to go and get on this fans only or these sexual websites. And she was a teacher in a school. So she quit her job. She was no longer a pastor. And now she's out there, you know, selling, you know, different things that people can get as far as pictures or videos or whatever on her online website. And I think, you know, that's what had to have happened in the Old Testament, where people lowered the standards so much you couldn't tell the difference. I can go find all that bad, but I need a place. And I believe there's people who are looking for a certain place, who have bought into the lies of this world and the devil, who need a place where they can find the power of God that can truly set them free and give them the deliverance that they need in their life from the addictions that this world can only offer us.
That's well said. I tell you, this is some interesting times we live in, I tell you.
Yes, it is.
It is something. Speaking to Pastor Bill Jenkins. And so, yeah, we have a book out there. It was called the Prophetic Almanac for 2023. Yeah, why don't you tell us about what, if one wants to get that book, what to expect?
Yeah, well, I believe the Bible says in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2, to write the vision, make it clear, so that they that read it can run with it. And so I sort of take this literally. And so every year I have a book that I write called the Prophetic Almanac for 2023. And I look at the number 23 in the Bible. And so many people have heard of the Farmer's Almanac, and it gives you a lot of weather things and stuff in our country. But the Prophetic Almanac really comes from the angle of the Bible as to what we can expect of God and what God expects of us. And so it's available at Walmart.com. It's available on Amazon. It's available at Barnes & Noble. You can go to eBay. PastorBillJenkins.org is where I have all my books. I have 17 different books, but this is an annual book that I write every year. And so I look at that number 23 in the Bible. It's only mentioned 5 times in the Word. So what I do is I look at every chapter 23 in the Bible. Again, 66 books, only 23 or only 20 of those books have a chapter 23. So I look at those, and then I look at every 2023 scripture that's in the Bible, and I allow that to speak to us, to tell us what God wants to say to us for a coming year. Again, we need direction. We need a purpose. We need a plan. We need a vision. The Bible says without a vision, the people perish. And so I really, this book was 15 years ago when I needed something more in my study time with God. I've been a Christian for over 30 years, been in ministry for almost 30 years. And, I needed a new way. And so I asked the Lord, teach me more about the scripture. And so the Lord began to show me the names and the places and the people and the colors and the numbers of the Bible. There are 31,102 verses in the Bible. Every one of those, if you believe the Bible is the inerrant, infallible word of God, you have to believe that every one of those 31,102 verses are from the Lord. And if they are, then every word in those verses, they mean something. So why is a certain color mentioned? What do those colors mean? You look at the consistency of when they're mentioned in the Bible, and then it will help you to gain a greater understanding of what God is trying to say to us. And so that's what I do with these numbers. It's not numerology. We're not trying to pull the wool over your eyes. We're not trying to trick you into some, satanic understanding of the word. We're trying to get the word across to you and give you something fresh. You know, every year when we start a year, there's always people. Every pastor who's worth anything will always give a vision for the church for the year. It's just been that way forever, right? Well, I'm giving you a vision in the Prophetic Almanac that will sort of help you to understand how important it is to look at every word, every verse in the Bible, and then allow God to speak to you through those verses as to what we believe God wants us to focus in on for that coming year. And so that's what the Prophetic Almanac is all about. It's a yearly book that I write to give you a vision so you can have direction to head the right way so that you can have the greatest opportunity for success in your life each and every year.
All right. And you said something interesting about numerology. Well, it may have been a year ago. I did a broadcast on that. Well, I know some people, they might take some verses out of, they may take a chapter or verse in the Bible, and you might see these, some televangelists or some pastors, some prophets or whatever, actually to donate. They might use maybe Psalms 23. I'm just, okay. Donate $230. Or they take Psalms 100. We need 10 people to donate $100 for Psalms 100. You know what? People see that stuff and they think, man, they running a scam. I know these numbers have no significant meanings, but sometimes you might get these televangelists, for Psalm 112, donate $112 or whatever. You know that kind of throws people off. They put all preachers in one lump to thinking all they're doing is scamming.
Right.
So I'm glad you brought up that numerology. Even I heard a pastor and a bishop saying, you know, if any pastor who don't use numerology, they call them stupid. If you're not using numerology.
Yeah.
But you know, we just
numerology is birthed in, you know, witchcraft. And so we wouldn't believe in any type of, you know, numerology, even if we tried to sanctify it with the word of God. But what we try to do is look and see in the Bible, you know, the Bible says that it's the glory of God to hide a matter, but it is the glory of the Lord of Kings to search out a matter. God wants us to pursue him. And so when we're pursuing the Lord, that's one of the things that God loves the most. And so when we're digging things out of the word, now all of that money stuff, when you're using things like that, to me, you know, if you got to beg for money like that, you don't deserve to be on the air. You deserve your church shut down. You deserve to be, you know, doing something else, because we would never use any scripture or any revelation of God in order to gain some, you know, some sort of advancement for us. So anything that I give you is for you. It's not for me. I don't tell you to give me nothing. You don't want to get, we give more books away than we sell sometimes because we want to minister to people. But our hope is that, you know, we're going to create an excitement inside of people to want to know the word of God more. For instance, when you look at these, you know, things in the Bible, when you look at the different chapters of the Bible that have a chapter 23 in it, what I do is I give you a little Bible study in my book of every chapter 23 that is in the Bible. There's only 20. And so you mentioned Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. This is a year that I say that you got to make the Lord your shepherd. You're a sheep. Sheep are the dumbest animals that are mentioned in the Bible. They're not smart. They want to do their own thing, and they need a shepherd. And so David said, the Lord is my, he made it personal. And so what I tell people is, this is a year you got to make God your shepherd. You got to stop doing things your way. You know, you got to stop being selfish and looking out for yourself. And so in the book, I put all these things. I look at Proverbs 23, how you need to curb your appetites. That's what the entire chapter is about in Proverbs 23, curbing your appetites, not letting your lust, not letting your earthly, sensual, worldly appetites overcome you in such a way that they become, you know, a point of addiction for you. So I take you through every chapter of the book. I look at the verses in the Bible, you know, and I break it down for you because I want you to have some direction. So when we're talking about praying and, you know, appreciating your past, not running from your past, not hiding from your past, we're talking about things that when you apply it, you're actually going to be better as a result. This doesn't benefit me. This book don't benefit me. It goes, any money that is does come in goes to our church. But this is a book that's going to help you to be a better person, have better direction, and have some insight as to what God expects of you and what you can expect of God. We don't have to be in the dark. We can know what's going on. You know, this isn't a book, you know, for people who don't want to know more of the Lord. This is a book for people who really want a closer walk, who want to close that gap between them and the Lord in their lives in 2023.
All right. But I'm looking here. He said in the book, you'll learn what it means to be born on the 23rd day of the month. So actually, without no giving away what's in your book. So you're saying that like the day that you're born on a month has an effect on how you're going to turn out in life, you know?
No, not necessarily. That's not what we're talking about. What I do in that chapter is I give those people who were born on the 23rd day of any month just a little word for them. Some things maybe that they need to tweak or change or work on, some keys to success. You know, sometimes people have a light go on. They get a little curious, you know, when you hear, well, I was born on the 23rd day of the month. What does the Lord have for me? Well, I believe that if you're born on the 23rd day of the year, God can give you the greatest year of your life. But you're going to have to do things. It isn't just going to magically happen. We're not going to wave a wand or sprinkle some pixie dust on you, and all of a sudden you're going to be better off. There's things that you have to do. So it's just an encouragement for those people, just to sort of, you know, get their ears open a little bit and to share with them some specific things. I give you people that were born, you know, these are famous people that you would know that are born on January 23rd or February 23rd or March. I can take it up. And we pray for those people because there's a reason why. You were born on a certain day. God knows the numbers of your hair. He knew the specific day that you would be born on. And so it's just a little neat chapter to sort of, you know, separate those 23rd day people, make them feel special, and to sort of know that, hey, you know, you're important to God. I don't care if you're born on the first day or the 23rd day of the month. You're important to God, but it's just to get your spiritual antennas up, learn how to listen to the Lord, learn how to really go to the Word of God for direction. And so that's what we use that chapter for, is to help those people born on the 23rd day, just to have a little bit more direction and focus, to know that, hey, this is the, you know, 23rd, you know, year of your life, or you were born on the 23rd month, and 23rd of some month, and just be a little bit more cognizant, be a little bit more, you know, attentive to what God wants to say to you. Because there's a reason. My son was born, my oldest son was born in the year 2000. So he'll turn 23, in 2023. And so obviously I want my kids to serve the Lord, and this serves as a way for him to sort of feel excited about, well, maybe God does have something for me. But you know what? God's going to have something important and special for him in 2024. So it's every year, but it's just a way for you to sort of tune your ears into God, to allow the Lord to speak to you in a fresh new way.
Oh, yes, I tell you, yes. I'm telling you, that's very interesting. So you do that every year. And how long you been doing that?
I've been doing it for 15 years in my churches, but I've been doing it for 10 years in book form. And so we write other books. I write books on resetting your life and books on the end times, you know, books on faith, books on lying and the truth. But this is one that comes out every year, and we do it in order to, like I said, to give people direction. Many people don't have direction. The blind is leading the blind. And so I'm giving you things in here that you can back up in the scripture. You know, the Bible says if you don't have two or three scriptures, you shouldn't believe just anything you want to believe. You have to have the scripture back up your beliefs. And if you don't have the scripture to back up your beliefs, you don't have a right to believe it, and you don't have a right to try to get someone else to believe it. So what I do is I give you the word. I give you that direction. I show you from the scripture in order to ignite a flame of enthusiasm within you that hopefully will cause you to want to serve the Lord more, read the word more, go to church more, do the right thing. And so that's why I do it, to give a vision to the church, to the body of Christ, to know exactly where God wants us to put the emphasis in on our specific personal lives.
Oh, he caught my ear when you said you wrote a book on the end times.
Yeah. I wrote a book on the first three chapters of the book of Revelation with the seven churches. And then I wrote a book on chapter 4 through chapter 22 of Revelation, and I take you through all of the bowls. I take you through all of the judgments. I take you through everything that's going to happen sort of during that tribulation period. And so it's a very interesting book, the seals, the trumpets, all of that. We talk about it in the book, but we look at it only from a biblical perspective. This isn't something that is a personal observation. This isn't my own personal beliefs. I just tell you, I just engage in expanding your understanding of the scripture. So it's a great book. And I really wrote the book. It's called The Rapture Manifesto. So if you go to PastorBillJenkins.org, you can get all of my books, including that one. But that book really wasn't even written for the Christian. It was written for the sinner. What to do if you're left behind. If you don't know what to do when you're left behind, this is a manifesto. This is a manuscript to help you get through all of the days of the tribulation if you are left behind. So it really is an exciting book. It's really been a tool that God has used to lead people to the Lord. And I know many people have bought the book in order to leave for people that they think are going to be left behind so that they have some tools to go through and walk through that tribulation.
All right. I'll tell you, early on, you mentioned something about false prophets, you know. And I just want to get your thought on something. You know, like this, I guess the election between who was there, Trump and Biden. You know, had so many prophets were saying that Trump was going to be reelected. They're hearing it from God, and these are from. No, some prophets I've no view to listen to. They, you know, when they prophesy, they pretty, you know, pretty dead on. And then so no, Trump did not get reelected. But well, is it fair to? I keep my mouth off of it. But is it fair for people to call them false? So since that didn't, you know, since it didn't come to pass, like you say, they heard from God. God told them, hey, he is going to get reelected. Now, even between Clinton and Trump, and an over prophet said that Hillary was going to win it. So it's a fair for people to call them a false prophet.
Well, here's the thing. You're judged by your fruit. And so if you're wrong about something, even in a court of law, if you lie about one thing, if it's found out that you are not telling the truth about one thing, you don't believe them on anything. And so I remember back in 2016, I was preaching a conference. It was a prophetic conference with several prophets in Baltimore, Maryland. And they kept telling everybody there, this was a large conference, and they kept telling everybody that Hillary was going to be the president. Every prophet spoke except for me. I never told anybody what I thought. Then one day of the conference, they said, well, Pastor Bill, you never have publicly declared, you know, that Hillary Clinton is going to win the election. So we would like to hear what you have to say. And I said, well, really, you don't want to hear what I have to say. Because publicly I said, well, all of you here have said that Hillary's going to win. And I'm going to tell you that Donald Trump is going to be the next president. And they almost booed me in the church. They almost booed me because they didn't like what I told them. You shouldn't have asked me. Don't ask me a question you don't want the answer to, because I'm going to tell you exactly what I think. And so sure enough, it was a shocker to many, but it was not a shocker to me. Then you go to 2020, I knew that Donald Trump was not going to win again. And so when people asked me, I said, listen, there's going to be a changing of the guard here in the president's office. And so I think that President Trump, I think, honestly, he did so much good for America. And the best thing that he did for America is get three Supreme Court justices into the Supreme Court. I think that was his number one job. I think God directed him to be the president for that one reason, if no other, in order to get the Supreme Court justices, because they're so important. They don't have an end date. They don't have a term limit. They can be there forever until the day they die. So in many cases, a Supreme Court justice is more important than the current president in making and establishing our laws. And so I think he was a great president. I think he did great. I think he did right by the Lord. And I think he did some awesome things. Now, some of the stuff that he did, I don't like. I don't like all the tweeting, the running your mouth, all the stuff, you know. I didn't like that. And that's part of the reason he didn't get reelected, because he really wasn't walking in a way that he should have been in a presidential manner. He should have done, if he would have just done a little bit, because I don't think Trump lost as Biden, won as much as Trump lost it. And Trump lost it because, he just kept doing things that just turn people off. And so I wish he would have kept his mouth shut. And I'll tell you right now, I'll tell you in 4 years, I do not believe that Donald Trump is going to win the election again. Now, you can keep track of this. You can have me on for the next couple years if you want, but I'll say it every time. I do not think Donald Trump is going to win the presidency again. I think you're going to see a changing of the guard next time, but it's not going to be Donald Trump being the president. So there's going to be people who will say things, but I'll put it out there. And if you say it publicly, then you ought to be held accountable to people publicly. So, if you said, is it right for us to, call them a false prophet? Well, did you prophesy something in the name of the Lord? Did you tag Jesus's name to it? Did you say God told you? Then absolutely, we have to hold those people accountable. You either better say it and be right or shut up. And sometimes pastors don't like that, but we don't have a right to just say what we want to say or believe what we want to believe. We better know it's from the Lord, or don't tag God's name onto it. Tell them, hey, I had bad pizza last night, or, whatever it may be. But don't tag God's name onto something and then think that we're not supposed to hold you accountable. So, yes, absolutely. As a man of God, as a pastor, as what people would call me, a prophet, I would say, hold me accountable to everything I say in this book. If I'm wrong, spread it around the land and tell everybody how wrong I am. But if I'm right, then be willing to listen. And so through the years, we've had people, pastors, churches, prophets, read these books. They have seen these prophecies come to pass. And so when I write it, I don't write this to what I want. I don't write these books to make myself feel good. I write these books to give direction for the people of God. And I'm honest with you. I tell you things in there. And if I'm wrong, call me what I am. I'm a false prophet. And so I believe that things are very clear. And if someone says publicly something is going to happen and it doesn't, then yes, they should be held accountable for what they say. I don't know if you remember, you look pretty young, but back in 1988, they had a book that was out called 88 Reasons Jesus is Coming Back in 1988. Do you remember that book?
No, I don't remember.
You know why? Because it didn't garner much attention, because Jesus didn't come back in 1988. So he gave 88 reasons and he was wrong 88 times. And so people judged him. Don't say something and put God's name onto something unless you know it's God and unless you know it's going to come to pass.
All right, that's well said. So right now, Pastor Jenkins, we're gonna give you the final words. Anything else you want to say before we go out of here? The floor is yours.
Well, thank you again for having me. I really appreciate it. Love your heart. I can sense you have a good heart, good spirit about you. And so always, good to hang out with somebody who has such a good spirit and a good heart. You asked me before, you told me a little bit before we came on about the program. And I told you, I'll give you an answer, but I don't know if you'll like it. And that's how I live my life. I'm going to give you answers, like it or not, like me or not. I'm not here to be people conscious or devil conscious. I'm here to be God conscious. And so when I write these books, I'm writing them and hearing from the Lord, writing them longhand. Like I literally write on a piece of paper and then my secretary types it out for me and we get it into book form. And so I would just encourage you, if you're looking for something new, if you're looking for a fresh perspective, if you really want to know what God is up to, what he's doing, and what's going to be going on in 2023, then get a copy of the Prophetic Almanac for 2023. This book is just like the Farmer's Almanac, but with a spiritual twist. And the twist is sort of, helping you to understand what to expect of God and what God expects of you. I give you scriptures. I back up everything I say with the Word of God. If I'm wrong, hold me accountable. But if I'm right, listen to the Word of God, because I believe the Word of God is the only thing that can change us. And so if you like reading, if you want to know the vision for 2023, then go to Walmart.com. Go to Barnes & Noble, go to Amazon, go to eBook Kindle, go to eBay, go to PastorvilleJenkins.org and get a copy of this brand new book. It ain't even 2023 yet, but we're ready, man. We're coming out. We're giving you this book. We're releasing the revelation of God. We're giving you inspiration, information, and divine revelation. If you go to PastorvilleJenkins.org, you can not only get all 17 of my books, but you can listen to all of our programs from the Prophetic Almanac radio program. We do a program every single day. It's on stations around the nation. And so you can get that Prophetic Almanac radio program half an hour every single day, Monday through Friday. You can listen to them absolutely free at PastorBillJenkins.org. And then one of the coolest things that we do is I offer a minute that matters. It's a 60-second little video devotional every single day. So it's 1 minute, 60 seconds. There's 1,440 minutes every day. I'm asking for 1 minute. And it's a little devotional that you can get. We call it The Minute That Matters. Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube. We're on every social media website. So if you can't find me by going to those individual sites, if you go to PastorBillJenkins.org, we put the little icons there. So you can hit the icon and it'll take you right there. And you can get my Minute That Matters, a little encouragement to start your day, get through your day or end your day, but it's all at PastorBillJenkins.org. So go check it out. I think you'll like what you see, what you hear, what you read. So go check it all out at PastorBillJenkins.org.
And that's it, folks. I'm grateful for Pastor Bill Jenkins to joining in. Very, very, very good information. Pastor, I thank you for being a part of the program today. Until next time, everybody, I hope y'all got something out of this. I hope you learn, and I hope you learn something that'll help you along the way. And again, however you listen, wherever you're listening from, thank you. Until next time, God bless you all.